Grace and mercy and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. He will help her right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So we have a lot to give thanks for this week. Amen?
Amen.
We had Hurricane Matthew, Category 4 hurricane, just off the coast. And it was aiming for a direct hit on Cape Canaveral and turned just a little bit to stay about 20 miles off the coast. And most of us sustained only light injuries to our houses and really none to our bodies. Our hearts go out to those in Haiti and such places where many lives were lost, or to north of us where they had a lot of flooding, much more of the storm surge than we had here. And so our prayers really need to go up for all of those who are deeply affected by the storm. And also our thanks and praise to God for His great mercy and how He moved the storm and preserved life and even pets and even more. I mean, and even as a small thing, but on top of all that, property as well, the things that we have been given by God. So today I'd like to look at what God says to us through this storm, what Hurricane Matthew has to teach us, and what God says to us through the scriptures by this storm, Hurricane Matthew, because I was talking with Russ the other day, and he said, Mother Nature has absolutely nothing to say to us through the storm. But God Almighty Father has much to say, everything to say to us through this storm. Indeed, Mother Nature is nothing. There is no such thing. It's God Almighty who commands these things, and so He has much to say to us. Let's take a look at a few things, what God teaches us by this great experience we had this week of wind and tempest and raging sea, and how God has preserved us through it, because really, at this time, if it had only been a few miles more this way, we might not even have a roof over us. But God is our shelter and our refuge from the storm. So, as I went through this whole experience, to me, scriptures were popping up in my head nonstop. Did that happen with you? Just nonstop. And here's a few of them. Number one, that God is in control of the storm and all of this weather. Therefore, we do not fear, though the waters roar and foam, because God is in the midst of us. He preserves us, and that gave me perfect confidence. I'm sure it gave the same to you. If you think about the weather now, the world treats it like a runaway freight train. It's just a rock and roll roller coaster, impersonal Mother Nature, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. But we know differently, that God is in charge of these things. In Job 38, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Maybe we could read that out of the hurricane, out of the tempest, out of the 140-mile-an-hour winds. God answered Job. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, what are these guys teaching you? They don't know what they're talking about. Gird up your loins like a man, I'll question you, and you declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding, Job. Were you there? Answer, Job can't even speak. God says, or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth from the womb, when it made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. What does that teach us? God sets the beaches as a boundary for the sea. It's by His command that these things happen. And God commands how far the sea will come and how far it won't come. It's all at His commands. Then we think about the wind and the storm and the rain. God says in verse 28, has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? What's the answer? Has the rain a father? It does. And the Father is God. It says, God says to Job, can you lift up your voice to the clouds that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? What's Job's answer to all these things? Not me, Lord. Not me, Lord, but you. You command these things. Remember when Jonah was trying to run away from God. What does it say there in Jonah chapter 1? that God hurled a great storm of wind down upon the sea. And it came down and beat against the boat and was so threatening that the boat threatens to break apart. It was God who sent that storm down upon the sea. It's Jesus who in the midst of the sea says, "Peace, be still." And the men are terrified before Jesus. Who is this man that even the wind and the sea obey him? So one thing we learn from the storm is that God is in control. Right, Sharon? That was Les's theme and still is his theme in heaven. God is in control. Say that with me. God is in control. He really is. This is not as the weather reports all want to make it out, that this is randomly flying off the handle. This is God, and it's he who commands and raises the stormy wind, as we read in Psalm 107. And it's at his voice, "Peace be still," that the waves are hushed and there's a great calm across the deep. God is our refuge and strength. God is in the midst of her. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, that we might marvel at his power and that God might humble the faces of men. Did this storm humble the faces of men? Yes. It should. It should cause you to say, "I'm little and this is big and God is far bigger than I." God is working through this storm to do great things, to humble the faces of men that we may marvel at his power. Another thing I saw in the storm is that God answers the prayers of his saints. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. It was heading, really, could have been a direct hit on this port, this coast. It could have hit exactly on Cape Canaveral very easily. Yes. Perhaps it was the storm's intent, if you will, to super destroy this area. But then what happened? God's people lifted up their prayers, the prayers of the saints. Do you think God in heaven, sitting upon his throne, looking down upon the sea that he stirred up like this with his fingers, he looks down and he hears the prayers of his people and he averts the storm. He says, reaches forth his royal scepter and says, "I'll move it 15, 20 miles out to sea and minimal damage." Do you think that's possible? Yeah. You think that's what happens?
Yeah.
I believe it is. When we went over to flee the storm, we went over to Tampa. Each of you went to various places. And it was really cool because you were on the West Coast at this hotel. Extended stay? I was wondering, is this going to be an extended stay? But we stayed at extended stay. And the breakfast the next morning, one person's like, I'm from Merritt Island. Well, I'm from Melbourne Beach. I'm from Satellite Beach. I'm from Indian Harbor Beach. Everybody was from this coast. And Beth got together and we led a prayer service. And they had people praying from all over the country and all over the world. And you were all praying. And I believe God averted and turned the storm to the sea. Just as we read there in James chapter 5, the prayer of a righteous man has great power and its effects. Do you think that we actually did that? I mean, God's people, all of the saints, have actually changed the weather? We read that that's very possible. In fact, Elijah, a man just like us, did that very thing, James says. He prayed and made a great famine, a great shutting up of the heavens, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave forth their rain, according to the prayer of a saint. And here all God's people in Christ Jesus were praying, and even those who were not in Christ Jesus were praying to whatever God they could lift up to. If God heard them or not, I don't know, but he heard your prayers, and I believe he turned that sea to the sea. As Art was saying, can I quote this, Art, is that okay? It's nothing like getting permission right in the middle of a sermon. He texted me before the storm on Thursday, "My Bible and my books are with me." And then on Friday morning at 9:04, kind of right in the midst of it, he says, "I slept through the thing, I just didn't care. I felt like God had it in his hands for me. People texting woke me up." So get this. The disciples are on the sea. Jesus is sleeping on a cushion. They're afraid. They're asking. Jesus gets up and saves them. In this case, because of Jesus' salvation, Art is asleep on a cushion, not worried about the storm, because he knows Jesus is awake commanding it. Isn't that beautiful? Did you find that same sort of peace and calm in your heart in the center of the hurricane, where you had that center of peace? Because God is with you. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And as Russ told me the other day, if it is our compulsion to get down on our knees and pray before the storm comes, it is our duty after the storm and deliverance to get down on our knees and thank and praise Him. Amen. So today and right now, God, we thank You for delivering us and being our refuge in this storm. Amen.
Amen.
Another thing that's so beautiful, I just thought was so beautiful, is seeing God's people come together and love each other at this time. I think God's people shine the brightest when things are the darkest. So we shouldn't fear the darkest things, because that's when we're the brightest. Art again texted me at 8:04 on Thursday. He said, "Our church family is amazing, looking out for one another. Lynn, Marsha, the elders, etc." Egan came up to me before. If you know Egan, he said, "I want to do anything I can to help." And he did. He helped take Russ over to the shelter. And Marianne later got to join him. And then we have, Cecile took in Alice Hogue. And the Poglers took in Sharon. And Sammy stayed with the Giordanos. And I could go on. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
God's people, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, one people, one church. And the church shines the brightest when things are the darkest in a storm. I thought that was just beautiful. So God drew us to each other, but then He also drew us closer to Himself in the midst of this storm, because He is our refuge and strength. And as I watched the storm coming, I couldn't help but think of the day of the Lord. Did you have that thought? The coming judgment, where John the Baptist said, "Flee the wrath to come." And then certainly we had that same message going on as this storm is coming and barreling up the coast and from the sea. The word was, "Flee the wrath to come." I mean, God did avert it, but it could have been the wrath. It could have destroyed this area and even many homes. The idea was, "Flee the wrath to come." We read here in Isaiah chapter 2 that there is coming a storm greater than Hurricane Matthew. It's called the day of the Lord, the day of the God of God's judgment. God says this, "Their land is filled with idols." And in verse 12, "The Lord of hosts has a day against all that's proud and lofty, against all that's lifted up and high. And the haughtiness of man will be humbled, and the pride of men will be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day." Do you know that there's a storm coming? Terrific storm being stirred up by the Lord. His wrath against sin coming on the last day, on the great day of God the Almighty. And in Luke 21, Jesus says, "It will come upon the face of all who dwell upon the face of all the earth." And the warning is, get out, right? Get away from the storm. Flee for refuge. Find a shelter. Find the shelter, who is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and profits his life?" I thought of that kind of verse when I'm doing my storm shutters. And at my new house, it was not like my old storm shutters, which took 15 minutes. I found these shutters. I had to attach all these things to the windowsill and put up all these things. And I was looking at my watch. I'm like, all day to set up and save my house, or leave right now and save my family. I'm like, save my family.
Amen.
What's it going to profit if I save my house and lose my family? Right? So what's it profit a man at the coming of the day of the Lord if he saves his life here and clings to the things of this world and doesn't instead flee right now for safety to Jesus Christ? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, says the Lord. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Come and come under the wings of my mercy and find peace. But as during this storm, so also at the day of the Lord, a lot of people don't take heed. Remember when we have Genesis chapter 19, Lot. There's a storm coming upon that city. "Arise and take your wife," say the angels to Lot, "lest he be consumed in the punishment of the city." Get out. Get out of Dodge, if you will. That's my translation. But he lingered, and so the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him forth and set him outside the city. And when they brought them forth, they said, "Flee for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed." Flee to the hills, lest you be consumed in the coming destruction. That's God's words to the people today. Flee the wrath to come. Jesus says of his day of his coming, On that day, let him who is on the housetop with his goods in his house not come down to take them away. Remember Lot's wife who turned back. You know, she was remembering her house, her home, her goods, her things. Didn't this storm put your priorities in order? It's like, I don't care really. I'll take a few preparations for my things, but I'm not really worried about my things. I'm worried about what's really important. What's really important in life? Family, friends, even your pet, God, people. Things are not important. And the storm puts priorities into their proper place and quickly moves them so. The bridges are going to close soon when it comes to God's way. The causeways are quickly going to be shut down. And Jesus says, when once the householder has risen up and shut the door, then you're going to stand outside and knock and say, Lord, open to us. And he'll say, I don't know where you come from. And David says in Psalm 55, I would haste to find me a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. And so where do you go to find refuge? Jesus Christ. He is the refuge from the hurricane that's coming. And I'll tell you, this hurricane came and it missed us a little bit. The hurricane that's coming is not going to miss. And God has promised that it's going to be worldwide and deadly. But he says, come into my shelter. Find refuge. Get you quickly to the place of refuge. And the refuge is me. Come unto me, all you who are weary. I will give you rest, says the Lord. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And I love this verse from Isaiah 26. It says in verse 20, come, my people, enter your chambers. Shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the wrath is past. Does that sound appropriate for this week? For behold, the Lord is coming forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the bloodshed upon her and will no more cover her slain. But where do you find refuge? In Jesus Christ. And where was there a refuge in this storm? In your homes or in Tampa or wherever you went? But if you were to go to the eye of this hurricane, do you know that there was a refuge there as well? In the very center of this hurricane as it spun around, I looked at the radar. Did you look at the radar? And in the center, there was this beautiful blue right there in the center of all the swirling red and yellow and green. Beautiful blue. It was peaceful there. It was calm there. It was still there. And some of the forecasters said, look at this. You can even see a flock of birds. Did you see that? In the very center of the blue, there was this patch of green that kept appearing on the radar, and they wondered what it was. It was a patch of birds that had found refuge in the center of the storm. Thousands and thousands of them, seabirds, right there you could see, in the green, like a symbol of life. They were living in the middle of this storm in perfect peace and quiet and stillness. When Jehoshaphat saw a great army coming against Jerusalem, he said, Lord, we're powerless against this great multitude. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And guess what? When our eyes are upon thee, his eye is upon us, and it's like being in the center of a hurricane. His eye upon us, he preserves us. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show his might on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him. And God has found his safety, given you his safety in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For we read this in Matthew chapter 3. God says, a book of remembrance was written before me of those who feared the Lord and thought of his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day, my special possession, on the day when I act. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you'll distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and doesn't serve him. For behold, the day of the Lord comes, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise. With healing in its wings, you shall go forth like calves leaping from the stall. Oh, this is beautiful. So as we look at this whole hurricane and we think about fleeing the wrath to come, let's give thanks to God that he is a great refuge for us. We've run into the center of the eye of the storm. In Jesus Christ, we have a perfect Savior. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. in the day to come, the day of God Almighty. But peace be still, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In Jesus' name, amen.